Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be with you again here at Bloomingdale, and want to say thank you to Pastor Zach for the invitation to come and share. He's not here today, I believe celebrating his birthday, so happy birthday, Zach, if you watch this, and great to be here and to say thank you to you as a congregation for your ongoing partnership and support in the work of Mennonite Central Committee. You're very so engaged in so many ways. Making comforters, relief kits, taking part, helping at the relief sale, hosting our All Nations Grand River Walk last year, and so many things, so many ways you contribute to this work of relief, development, and peace in the name of Christ. And we'll say a little bit more about MCC's work over here in Ontario later on in our time together. But we want to explore this story that we've been introduced to this morning, the story of a lost sheep, so wonderfully displayed by the kids and Claire, and really nailing some of the things we want to speak about this morning. The story of the lost sheep. Chapter 15 of Luke is a very familiar one. These parables, these stories that Jesus tells, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, or the prodigal son. So familiar to us, so very well known. And really drive home the fact that Jesus is on mission to find those of us who are lost. But Jesus tells these stories in response to what is described in the first couple of verses of chapter 15. And Luke records that the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. There's an interest, there's an intensity, there's a desire of those folks to gather and listen to the teaching of Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law mutters, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. They're none too pleased. And they think that what Jesus is doing is wrong, is clearly in defiance of the rules and regulations that they put forward in terms of how you remain clean, and are pretty upset with what Jesus is doing. But who are these tax collectors and sinners? You know, from some of the stories, some of the incidents we read in the Gospels, that those who occupy the position of tax collectors are not the most likable bunch of folks. They are despised. They work in collaboration with the occupying Roman forces. They have freedom and flexibility to taxes on people. And the accumulate wealth. The story of Nicodemus, for example, gives us a sense of the wealth that he has accumulated in response to the work of Jesus in his life. He wants to give back so much of what he has collected. And the system of tax collection allows those assessors power to impose different rates and to accumulate wealth. One commentator says that it's an occupation that depends for success on suspicion, intrusion, and harassment, and tends to attract people who are not the most pleasant of personalities. And the rabbis taught that these folks are unclean. They're working with the Romans, they work on the Sabbath day, they are unclean, and you shouldn't associate with them, shouldn't eat with them. So the fact that Jesus is eating with such people just raises all sorts of red flags for those religious leaders. And sinners is a term that is used by those who are teaching the law to really describe those who are not living in accordance with the ceremonial law and the teachings of the Torah. For Jesus, sinners are simply those who are not yet walking the ways and purposes and will of God, his Father. And Jesus comes, of course, to offer a way forward for those who are sinners, those who are outside of God's kingdom, through repentance and faith to come into a relationship with him. And these three parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, are really told in response to this situation described in the beginning of the chapter. And we see in Jesus a care and concern for lost people. The gospel tells us that Jesus comes to seek and to save the lost. We read that in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And he comes to offer this gift of God's salvation to all people, not just Jews, but Gentiles, those who would respond in repentance and faith in him and welcome into the kingdom of God. I want you to notice in the story of the lost sheep a number of elements, and they were really highlighted in the little skit that we saw. The first is this, that the shepherd's response to the lost sheep is to go and find it. You saw demonstrated the attitude. It's only one out of 100. We can get by. 99 is good. But no, there is a commitment and a dedication to go find this lost sheep. He could have just accepted the fact that the sheep has gone missing or is lost. But no, there is a search implemented and is made. The shepherd leaves the sheep in the safe control of a junior shepherd, and off he goes to find this lost sheep. We don't know how long the search took. Maybe it was a number of days, as we saw in the skit. Maybe it was a short period of time, but there was a commitment on the part of the shepherd to go find this lost sheep. And the shepherd searches until he finds it. This is not just a token search. The search is not called off because some time has run out or a particular period of time has elapsed. No, the search is only called off when the missing sheep is found. Such is the dedication and the commitment of the shepherd to finding the lost sheep. And certainly note with me the fact that when the sheep is found, the shepherd extends a great deal of care. We read that he puts the sheep on his shoulders. And we don't know whether the sheep is injured or just simply exhausted. Maybe the animal is frightened or confused, but the shepherd takes the sheep, puts it on his shoulders, and returns to the rest of the flock. The shepherd exhibits care. You can imagine if the sheep is injured in some way, the shepherd would have dealt with that injury, tended to the injury of the animal before hoisting it on his shoulders and bringing it home. And when he does get home, the shepherd rejoices, calls his family and friends and neighbors to share his joy. Such is the delight in finding this single animal who has gone missing. And finding the lost sheep is a joyful experience. And that joy is multiplied in the stories of the lost coin and the lost son. The response to finding the one who is lost is a response of joy and celebration. And Jesus says, I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. In this statement, Jesus is making the point that the return of sinners to God should be a cause of joy and celebration to the religious leaders. Instead of looking down their noses at people they don't agree with, they have contempt for, they should be rejoicing in the fact that they have come into the orbit of Jesus. What a contrast to the disdain and disapproval of those religious leaders to find the shepherd, Jesus himself, celebrating, having a party with those who have been brought near to him. We see Jesus' concern for all people, even the social outcasts, those who are deemed to be tax collectors and sinners. That's a phrase that pops up time and time again in the gospel accounts. And it calls us to that same place of being concerned for people, of showing energy and endeavor to bring people into a place of safety and security, even in the way that the shepherd searches for the lost sheep and the woman searches for the lost coin, and there is a celebration when the prodigal son returns. And MCC's work around the world and here in Ontario is one that seeks to show a concern for people in need, people who perhaps have been forgotten, people who are perhaps living on the margins of their society, of their culture. And MCC works globally around the world in over 46 countries, 345 different partners, Many church groups and church denominations and others who share the same values and outlook as MCC in about 459 projects. Those numbers change each year, but it gives you a sense of the breadth and the scope of the work of MCC as we pursue projects in relief, development, and peace. And alongside our work overseas, MCC works here in Ontario, supporting people on the margins here at home. And a new emphasis, a new campaign to try to highlight the work in Ontario has been given this name, Hope Starts at Home. And it begins here in at home because people are struggling. We know that. People are struggling with housing, with homelessness, desperate to secure a living wage, refugees who struggle to adapt to a new setting, a new country. But despite those problems, there is hope. Because as we see the brokenness, we respond. We want to make a difference in the lives of people. And that's why, alongside our international work, MCC is walking closely with people here in Ontario as we seek to address poverty so that people feel supported, as we foster belonging so that people feel seen, as we pursue peace so that people feel safe. Let me say a few things about MCC's work in helping to address poverty. The challenge is that economic realities and housing insecurity put people, many people in our culture, into a very difficult position. Maybe people struggle with putting bread, enough food on the table to feed themselves and their families. And one of the ways in which MCC is responding is through the Raw Carrot Soup Enterprise. This is a way in which we provide meaningful employment and a stable livelihood for people who are experiencing poverty because of disabilities. We're also advocating for changes in policy through advocacy work, writing letters to those in government and those who have responsibility for policy development. A group of people connected with MCC who have lived experience of homelessness gather together regularly to discuss issues and to come up with ways in which they can put forward a voice of people like themselves to government and those with responsibility for policy. And support of churches like this to MCC's work foster job opportunities for people in need, fosters community through our Circle of Friends program, which is a way of a program to walk with people in transition from homelessness into secure housing. Together, we make a difference in the lives of people. People like Margot, who never imagined that being part of the Raw Carrot Soup Enterprise would make a difference in their lives. She was battling addiction, living on the streets. But she was able to turn her life around through counseling and support from her community and a Circle of Friends group at MCC. But one thing eluded her, and that was a job. She had disabilities, which caused her to not to be able to find a suitable job. And she entered the Raw Carrot program, which hires people on Ontario Disability Support, offering meaningful employment. And Margaret was amongst some of the first employees at the Kitchener site. And the Raw Carrot provides flexible and supportive workplace, letting people like Margaret make a contribution at their own pace. She works 2 days a week, which doesn't impact her allowance through the Ontario Disability Support Program. If she needs a break, she can take it, and she has a place of belonging and security through this particular program. And we're able to do that with others, providing an opportunity seeking to address poverty in our region. We also have programs that help foster belonging. People are living on the margins, perhaps feeling isolated, excluded, invisible to the surrounding community. And MCC, through various means, is trying to provide a place of belonging, particularly working with refugee families who come to a new country, who maybe don't have social support networks, and through church sponsorship groups, able to help and support those people as they transition into a new life. We're also working with First Nations groups, Indigenous communities, building reconciliation, a sense of belonging that we are together on this land, working together cooperatively rather than at odds with each other. Their Circle of Friends program provides a place of belonging and support for people in transition from homelessness back into community. And the work and support of churches like this allows people to be supported. People living on the margins, newly arrived refugees and indigenous neighbors who've lived here for generations. But the work we do also seeks to support or pursue peace. And peace is really rooted in everything we do. That longing for just, safe communities is universal. But peace takes a lot more work than just simply wishing it to be the case. And at MCC, we're responding to the needs of individuals affected by conflict and injustice, both locally and globally. We work with Indigenous communities, building relationships, trying to address the impacts of colonialism, creating safe places for all. And support is able to be given through the generous support of churches like this. And it impacts people like Colleen. She's a First Nations individual. She's fluent in Cree. Her connection is strong to the land and its traditions, and her passion is food. Growing it, harvesting it, and teaching others to embrace traditional methods. She runs a farm on her community, producing 5,000 pounds of potatoes, which started with seeds provided by MCC through our Sowing Reconciliation Project. She smokes wild game and geese in a handmade teepee, a structure built from local wood. For Colleen, this work is simply more than survival. She rejects store-bought food laden with unknown chemicals in favor of the wild, healthy alternatives that are plentiful in her community. And these choices that she makes align with Indigenous food sovereignty, which prioritizes community control over food systems. Despite challenges, Colleen remains determined to share her knowledge with her sons, to train them not only just to survive, but to thrive. And they are her inspiration to keep going. In every harvest, every act of preserving traditional knowledge for her is an act of hope. And as she says, a quiet prayer of thanks for the animals she smokes and the potatoes she grows. She nurtures not just her body, but her spirit, reclaiming sovereignty one crop at a time, one memory at a time. And this work is supported by MCC and our program through Indigenous Neighbors. And through these programs and others, we're trying to make a difference in the lives of people who live on the margins, not just globally, but here in Ontario. Let's go back to our passage, to the story of the lost sheep. We saw in it the reality of the truth that Jesus tells that the return of people to God should be a matter of rejoicing. Not just taking offense at people who hang out with Jesus, but it should be a cause of rejoicing. And two questions I want to pose to you this morning to reflect on. As we think about those who are lost and those who are found, how might you describe yourself? As somebody who is found, who's living in relationship with Jesus, somebody who is found and been drawn to the person of Jesus because of who he is, his character, the fact that he teaches as one with authority, he just draws us in, and we enter into relationship with him. Or maybe we're on a journey, maybe we're lost. Maybe we have yet to come to that place of being found, of entering into a relationship with God through Jesus. Reflect on where you are. Is there celebration because you have come into the fold, been restored in your relationship with God, your Heavenly Father? And secondly, a question in terms of how we respond to those who are lost within our communities, who are living on the margins. Jesus comes to seek and save the lost. He offers welcome, acceptance, community in our attitudes and behaviors. Are they like Jesus? Do we seek out those who are lost, those who are on the margins of our culture, our society, seeking to offer hope, seeking to offer welcome, seeking to offer a place of belonging? Or are we like the Pharisees who look down our noses at people with and despise them? Or do we look on them as people who need to be found, who need to be drawn in? People who deserve our love and care and attention. And the parable ends with a scene of rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents, more so than the one safely locked up in the fold. My prayer is that the way we live our lives, the way we live our lives as individuals and in community, would cause rejoicing in heaven. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, that you are the good shepherd who never gives up on the lost, who lifts us onto your shoulders when we are weary, who brings us home with joy and belonging. Forgive us for the times when we have been more like muttering onlookers than like Jesus, who welcomes sinners and shares life with them. Renew our hearts so that we rejoice with heaven whenever someone turns toward you. We lift up the work of MCC here in Ontario and around the world. Bless our efforts to address poverty through meaningful work, to welcome refugees and support neighbors seeking belonging, and to pursue peace by confronting injustice, building safe and reconciled communities. Remind us that hope begins closer to home. When we feel lost or found today, draw us into a deeper relationship with you. Make our lives and our church a place of your redemption and hospitality, sitting joy among the angels as we welcome those who are most vulnerable. And in the name of Jesus, who invites us to his table, we pray. Amen.